Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
B-Pod Studios.
This.
Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Lamar Jackson has continued to do things that have led people to celebrate how special an individual he is and unique a quarterback he is. Shotgun snap, looking middle of the field, under pressure, ball is set. Chenna Nwosu. Diving for it. There is a scrum. It looks like the Chargers may have it. We'll see. Charger ball! Charger ball! The Bolts are going to win in Baltimore.
And they head to New England. So, Chargers, Patriots, any thoughts on the games over the weekend? We've given you just about all of our thoughts, so it'll be you the rest of the way, as promised, right to you. Tony and Stone will lead us off this hour. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Tony.
You know, this weekend couldn't have broken better for the Patriots.
Huh?
It could not have broken better for the Patriots.
Why? Why do you say?
I'll tell you why. Because you got two teams to beat two teams that have no offense. I wouldn't have said this before the playoffs. I didn't think the Patriots were going anywhere. But after this weekend, they're going to win. Kansas City's going to lose. They're going to play the home game here. They're going to be in the Super Bowl again, which no one ever thought of this year, halfway through the season. There's a good chance they'll be playing Philadelphia again.
Okay, so you're so sure that this Chargers game is a lock, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I expect to hear you on Monday ripping the Patriots if they lose. That's all.
I don't think this thing's okay.
I don't know where you get that from, but
the worst possible matchup they could have drew in this round.
Without question.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This is the best team that the hardest opponent they could have gotten. That's right.
I mean, I would have predicted the other side no matter what. But look, the Texans wet themselves every time they come here. Baltimore has no passing game. And now you've drawn a team that's really good at everything. They have no really glaring weakness. They can throw the ball. They're a good running team. They're tough. They're physical. Their defense is good. Their head coach, I think, is a question mark, but their coordinators are former head coaches, Wisenhunt and Gus Bradley, who are, you know, who've been head coaches before, so those are real solid guys. I mean, I don't know. San Diego's got to travel. They've got to travel, which is a factor. It shouldn't be as much of a factor as it is. It just shouldn't be. But it is, so you're home. That's a big advantage. But the team, I don't know. I don't know why you would say you'd rather have someone else other than them.
I'm surprised the Chargers didn't just stay here. I would have stayed here if I were the Chargers, but anyway.
So they can't logistically, but because they would have had to, they didn't know who they were playing until Saturday night.
Right.
So that's a short notice to rent a practice facility, rent a hotel, all the security, all the everything. Like, it's just, and why should, can I, I'll spend a second on it now then? It's really not that big of a deal.
Well, it shouldn't be, but for whatever reason it is.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, but it is, especially for those West Coast teams playing 1 o'clock Eastern games, which is what this is. It's a 10 a.m. West Coast game. And I would say that's a huge disadvantage for the Chargers unless they didn't just do it. That was a 10 a.m. game for them yesterday, and they did it. So that, I think, plays well for them. But anyway, so the travel. What's the big deal, really? I mean, first of all, they don't travel like you and me.
Right. They're not cramped in coach.
They're not standing in line at the security. They're not having to arrive to the airport 90 minutes early. They're not schlepping their bag through the terminal and then checking their bag. They're not sitting in some middle seat next to some fat load next to them who's farting for 3 hours.
Like Janikowski.
No, they're not. The bus pulls up right to the plane. They go through a little security thing now, I think. They didn't used to even. The bus rolls right under their charter jet. They don't have to touch a bag. Like, it's, people don't understand the way they travel. It's nothing. So, okay, so they get on the plane late yesterday afternoon in Baltimore, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, whatever it is. They get to L.A., San Diego at 10 o'clock. They're in bed. Now they have all day today, which is probably off. Then they have all day tomorrow. Then they have all day Wednesday. Then they have all day Thursday. Like, what? This isn't like the NBA or baseball where you're playing in a different city every night and like living out of a suitcase. You've got like 5 days to recover. Then if they're smart, they get on their plane Friday afternoon there in LA, fly out here. Then you spend 2 nights in a really nice hotel. You have a full 24, 36 hours to get acclimated to the stupid 3-hour time difference. And again, you're not flying like we're flying. Well, that shouldn't be that big of a deal.
It shouldn't be. I'm with you, but
we have
five
freaking days between, you know, between travel days, 7 between games. What are we talking about?
But the numbers are always skewed heavily in favor of the East Coast teams in these things.
Regular season, I'm curious what it is in the playoffs.
So that's a good question. I wondered that too.
I'm curious if it's mitigated a little bit in the playoffs with, again, that West Coast 10 a.m. start. That's what they call it.
Throw out another nerd call.
I guess we could do that.
Yeah, I like the idea. Do it. Why don't you someone call the Raiders and see how they fared in 2001? Let's see how that one went.
The Stacky Memorial Call to the Nerds!
Hi. West Coast teams in the playoffs on the East Coast on 1 p.m. games. So that was a night game.
That's right.
Snow Bowl was a night game. I think that mitigates it a little bit. The 10 a.m., the West Coast 10 a.m. start in the playoffs, how do West Coast teams fare? I bet it's bad. It shouldn't be. Andrew and Grafton. Go ahead, Grafton. Andrew, hey guys, sorry.
You should be called the Hindsight 2020 Felger and Mavs Show. That's what I'm going to call you now, because where were you guys when the Colts were 1-5 and they came into Gillette and absolutely bombed them? Actually, Murray, where were you? I didn't hear you saying they're my new favorite team, or I didn't hear you saying Frank Reich was this, and what a bad mistake Josh McDaniels was making.
Did you say it?
Were you then?
Did you? And actually, in the postgame, I said that they were pretty impressive in the second half, even though they were decimated by injury, and it was kind of embarrassing the way that the Patriots defense played against them in that second half of that game.
I don't think Josh McDaniels necessarily made the bad move. What if he gets the
Packers? No, he did. He screwed up.
Hey, Andrew, what's wrong with hindsight? I mean, that's why we do what we do.
So we're supposed to ignore the fact that they've gone 10-1 since?
No, but you make it sound like you're that smart. Like, you called it. Oh, man, Frank Reich is going to be the best coach of
all
time. Nailed
it. Said that they were going to go into the playoffs and win.
I didn't call it.
When last week? When did you call it?
Weeks, plural. Well, you must not have been listening that day.
But hold on.
Follow me on Twitter, at Big Jim Murray. I've been tweeting about it, too.
So it doesn't matter if I called it or not. I did not call it. So what?
But
it's what happened.
Annoying that you guys make it seem like you're just that knowledgeable, and then you just finally, after he wins a game in Houston, which, by the way, Houston blows. Okay, that's just what it is. I don't know why you're giving them that much credit. They blow, and you're giving them that much credit because they beat that team. Are you kidding me?
But of course it's hindsight. I prefer hindsight to predicting. No one's right. No one knows what's going to happen. That to me is boring. Like, even just guessing what's going to happen. Some people are right, some people are wrong. Like, I hate that. I hate the prediction thing. When something happens, yes, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to pound the crap out of that sucker, whether I called it or not, or whether I, you know, sat out the prediction or not. Like the Golden Tate, Josh Gordon thing? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You had a chance to get a baller, a legit pro dependable baller, and instead you took Josh Gordon? Oh, God. That is a hindsight call. No, I was anti-Josh Gordon. That's not a hindsight call. I said that from day one. But I'll pound that in the aftermath now that it's played out that way. And the Colts thing, yes, hindsight, you bet. It happened.
Yeah, I'll tell the caller. I'll be the dink. I liked Frank Reich. I liked the hire when they made it. I said it at the time, so go pound sand. I was right.
And me too, and I've been saying it for weeks. Big, giant brain here. I was smarter.
And you can't change the name of our show. It's already been changed. It's the Brady and Decline Show. Rocco and Saugus. Go ahead, Rocco.
Rapid decline.
Hey, what's up, guys? Listen, I don't know why people forget about the Chargers. Last year, they played them against the Patriots. And remember, that game, the defense of the Chargers held the Patriots pretty solid to field goals. Well, I think it was only one touchdown to Gronkowski. And Philip Rivers still had a chance to win the game with 10 seconds. But I think Benjamin dropped the punt and got a two-point conversion.
So, Rocco, you don't think the Chargers are anything? You think the Chargers are the same team they were last year?
I think if they learn from the mistakes, they don't play scared. I mean, look what they did with the Kansas City. They went for the win. I mean, when you play against the Patriots, you can't play scared. You got to go for it. You got to bully the bully. You can't get lost in the mystique of the Patriots. I mean, and people...
Feels like you're saying different things. To me, I feel like they're a different team than they were last year. The Chargers. I don't know. Did they go 8-1 on the road last year?
I mean, so the way he said, I thought he was saying that the Chargers actually are a formidable opponent. That's the way I took it. They went 9-3 in their last 12 games last year. And now they're 13-4 this year. I mean, how much can you dismiss them? The wins don't matter? Like, and we all know the Patriots aren't as good as they've been in the past. So, look, I think you're in for a game. Again, I'll tell you what, take all of us out of it. The four games on the board this week, according to Vegas, this is the lowest spread. This is the tightest game. Okay, so take that for what it's worth.
Matt in Boston, what do you got for us?
Well, Big Jim, you forgot one little biggest loser this weekend, and that was the what was left of the Patriots coaching trees, assistant coaches going up in flames in the first game of the weekend. And Bill O'Brien, I mean, my gosh, is this guy freaking overrated or what?
I mean, I'm sorry. Is he overrated or what?
Yes. And I love him. You know I love him. Of course I love him. But, how many games do you have to see until you just sort of say, my God, it happens over and over and over again?
I mean, I think that one game killed his whole – I mean, that team started 0-3. They ended up into the playoffs, home game, all that kind of stuff. He's going to get Coach of the Year considerations. That was a no-show.
Yeah,
they
didn't look ready in this game.
And that, I think that just unravels the whole regular season for him and, like, everything that he built up this year. Like, oh, okay, you know, maybe he's figuring it out here. No, not at all.
Jules in New Hampshire, give me a Charger take.
What's up, Mike? Yeah, so you got the Chargers winning.
Yes, absolutely. You
know, all right, so if we concentrate on the run, we stop the run. If we concentrate, we can stop it. We put Gilmore on Allen and J.C. Jackson on what's his name with help over the top.
Mike Williams.
Tell me how they win that.
Well, I mean, you're assuming that they're going to cover it well and that they're just going to stop the run by snapping their fingers?
Well, it's the pass, you know. If Belichick wants to stop the run, he stops it. Does he not?
I mean, you know what? I said that before that playoff game in 2009. I remember.
And they get smoked.
First, I said they're not going to run on the page. You had the clip. And
I want to say one more thing after you're done.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Philip Rivers, first ballot Hall of Famer. Are you okay?
He will be.
He's barely over 500, and he hasn't won anything.
I'm just telling you he will be.
If he makes it, then the Hall of Fame is dead.
Okay, well, the Hall of Fame might be dead to you because he's going to go in about 30 seconds.
I forgot Jules is another Patriots tight ass. He's another one. Heaven forbid that you actually think the other team's any good. Like, you know, if you don't say they suck, apparently you think that they're world beaters.
I don't think Rivers is the greatest of his generation either. I mean, I think he's good. I'm just telling you the way they vote. He's got all sorts of records and numbers, and I don't even... And like I don't care about the numbers and the records. I'm just telling you how they vote.
Do you think Bill would have wanted to stop the run and say, "Oh, I don't know, the biggest game of the year, Super Bowl 52," because the Eagles collectively ripped off 6.1 yards per carry in that game, in which the Eagles won 41-33.
If you're saying they can just snap their fingers and stop the run, dominate those receivers, and that's the way it's going to be, then yeah, they're going to win.
Yeah, with Malcolm Brown and Danny Shelton.
I mean, that sounded pretty simple, right?
Very stout piece of cake. Line.
Oh, yeah. No, you just put the fatties out there, clog up the middle, no problem. It's all good.
How'd they stop the run this year?
They haven't.
Poorly. This is the problem is that, again, when you talk about multidimensional teams on offense, typically these are the ones that give the Patriots difficulty. They're the ones that give everybody difficulty. But in this case, you also have a couple of backs that can catch the ball. A power back was hard to bring down, although we'll see if he's healthy. The receivers are all huge. They're huge. And now Henry on top of it, if he plays this week, now that he's been activated, like there's a lot to account for there.
Okay, one thing we did not get to from the weekend, and that is the officiating. Remember how we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, it was a good year for the league. They just totally eliminated the catch rule controversy. We didn't show up here once on a Monday talking about what's a catch, what's not a catch. Not once. Not once did we do that all year. They waited for the playoffs. It arrived. Get to this right after these words.
Felger and Mass. The Sports Hub.
Hey, everyone. It's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new Business Hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wow.
This is going to be crazy. The crowd will erupt if Chicago has the ball. And the Philadelphia Eagles are moving all the way back, so they know what's going to happen here. They're already moving back. They know what's going to happen. And the crowd can sense it, too.
Nobody's going to believe this when they announce it.
Can't make it up.
After review, the ruling on the field will stand. There is no clear recovery of the football. Therefore, the ball will go back. It'll be third down.
Wow, they're going to rule it an incomplete pass is what he's saying. He didn't say the words. But, Terry, that's what he's ruling here.
That's what they're doing. But it is a completed pass.
It was. It should have been.
So he's a runner at this point, and I don't know why they don't give him the catch, because it is.
It took 18 weeks, but it finally happened. I thought the whole year was going to be like this, so I was wrong. I thought their adjustment to the catch rule would make it worse, not better. And I was wrong. Way wrong. Because the season was almost completely devoid of what's a catch and what's not a catch. It really wiped out the whole story. It was what the league did worked. I was wrong. And so, But it did happen last night. And I thought this was going to happen on a routine basis, because they've left it more open to interpretation, and they've just brought into the scope of what's a catch. And so last night was the first time that I saw this year, watching the Patriots or any neutral site game, where you had a situation where no one knew what the deal was. No one knew what the rule was. No one knew whether it was a catch, not a catch. Collinsworth and Michaels didn't know. The players didn't know, because the players went all the way, as they said, they went all the way down to the field because they were sure there was going to be set down there. No one knew. Not even Tony Corrente, the ref, knew. Players announced it. He gives this announcement like he has a question mark at the end.
Yeah.
After review, the ruling on the field will stand. There is no clear recovery of the football. Therefore, the ball will go back. It'll be third down.
The ball will go back, and it's third down.
Wait, so I was so confused by that, as was everyone. I mean, because, you know, the ruling will stand. They called incomplete.
Yep.
And there was no clear recovery. What?
Exactly.
How the hell is... Why are you even talking about the recovery if it's an incomplete pass? Like, what? What?
Okay, so first of all, just throw out the rule book, just in your football viewership, should that be a catch?
Based on the current rule,
No, I just said throw out the rule. Throw out the rule. You watch a football game.
Yes, he caught it.
Do you want that to be a catch or not a catch?
Catch.
Yeah, catch.
Not catch.
Catch and a fumble.
That's exactly the play that I'm talking about. Like, he gets it. The defender's hand is in there. He rips it before he goes to the ground. No catch. I need to see more. See, I don't want that to be a catch.
See, I thought he had it enough. What did he take? Three steps? I think it was three steps, and then the ball got ripped out.
Yeah, bang, 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 but the defender's hand's in there. It's not like, you know, he had his mitt in there pretty much from the get-go, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, but I also thought the receiver had two hands on it, and it was a catch. Like, but anyway, I mean, they're free to disagree.
Right, so what I wanted, and I like the strict interpretation of a catch. I like it. You know, you got to catch it, control it, go to the ground, keep control of it, toss it to the ref. That's a catch. Anything short of that, incomplete. I liked it the way it was. And I don't want that to be a catch. That's just too, you know, for someone who likes defense, you should want, you know, you got to give the defense a chance there.
Yeah, sure. That ball is out quick. I'm looking at this time and again here. And I feel like it's a
happened. The league said, what did the league say? I just had this. I was going to phrase this, and now I forgot. It was, they want replay to be less controversial, right? And so it was a bang, bang play. It was incomplete. And then you had the whole nonsense of the non-recovery. I think the league said that replay would be too intrusive here. In other words, replay would be too that would change the outcome of the play too much. So we're just going to, you know, we're just going to say the play stands because it's too bang bang, and that would have been too much of an intrusion of replay if they had changed it. Okay, that's what I think. And they use this nonsense thing. I mean, do you understand why the rule they hid behind?
Yes, yeah.
You understand it?
Yeah, I do. The rule is that I read the rule this morning, but in the absence of a recovery, they they call the pass incomplete and take it back to the riddle line of scrimmage.
So what it is...
Which is asinine.
No, well, but here's how it I believe it reads. The rule says, in absence of a clear recovery, if there's no clear recovery, the call on the field stands. And what's that supposed to mean is the call on fumble, non-fumble is supposed to stand, right? That's what it means. That if there's no clear recovery, if the ref picks it up before either side jumps on it, then the call on the field stands in terms of fumble, non-fumble. There was a whole other element to it, which was complete, incomplete. And I think the league sort of weaseled that into the same sort of reading. You understand what I'm saying?
I see.
So because the ruling on the field was incomplete, they said, no, it goes back to being incomplete because that was the ruling on the field. But we're not talking about complete, incomplete. We're talking about fumble, non-fumble. So if they're going by the letter of the law, the call is catch, fumble, no clear recovery, Chicago ball.
Well, so that's what I thought the play should be.
That's what it should be according to the rules, okay? That I'm saying I think the rule is too loose. I think the rule is too in favor of the offense. I think you should have to control the ball through the ground. I liked the old rule. But if it's going by the letter of the law, catch, fumble, Chicago recovery. And I think the league said we don't want replay to change this that dramatically. So call in the field stands. That's what I think.
So if Philly had jumped on the ball there, Philly gets the ball.
I think they would have kept Philly ball there. Yep, I do. I do. I think they would have said Philly ball.
I mean, that whole thing had my head spinning,
and,
man.
And let me tell you another one. I think the Melvin Gordon
at the fumble, goal line.
That was a fumble.
I thought that was a fumble.
Yeah. It was close.
The ball was coming out.
See, ultimately I said no, but only because I wanted San Diego to win by that stage.
But again,
there was three touchdowns in that whole sequence there that happened in 10 minutes.
But if replay steps in there, you've now taken not just 6 points off the board from San Diego, you're given 6 to Baltimore, and you've changed the entire game. Because the ball came out just like a little half inch as he's going to the ground. Now, the ground can't cause a fumble, I understand, but he got tripped.
It's coming out.
He got tripped by Weddle, and the idiot.
Reach for the goal line.
What do I always say about that? You know, those guys that reach for the goal line when they don't need to, you're asking for trouble. And he got it because that ball was coming out as he was reaching.
Well, plus the guy in the Houston game did the same thing where he reached for the pylon, the ball came out, but
oh,
go ahead.
God, I just, you don't see the Patriots doing that. Because Bill knows. I don't. How no one else gets that is beyond me. That just shows you how bad the coaching is in the league. It's like, why is your guy reaching for the goal line on first down? Go down at the half-yard line and punch it in on second down. You can fumble out of the back of the end zone for a touchback. Like, there's just too many things that go wrong. So Gordon, of course, you know, reaches for the end, and the ball's coming out. I think that should have been a Baltimore touchdown. So I think all season long, we haven't had many of these. And this weekend, we had a couple.
Oh, my God. They all piled up. And do you remember the play in the Houston game
I'm talking about?
So
I missed that one.
So the receiver caught the ball and was running. And as he's reaching for the pylon, the ball comes out of his hand.
And what happened with it?
Well, they ended up calling a touchdown because they deemed that the nose of the ball broke the plane before he actually lost control of the ball. Otherwise, he'd have fumbled it out of the end zone, and the Colts would have had the ball.
So Vinny's showing a picture of Gordon right now with the ball in his hands at the goal line. Can you show that? Okay, he is. Did Vinny have the Chargers in this game or something? Because you need a couple frames before. That makes it look like he has control. He didn't. He lost the ball on the way to the ground. I think Vinny's trying to say that was the right call. I think he was losing the ball on the way to the
ground. He has control of the ball.
So you're claiming there at the very end he got control back of the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe.
I wanted the Chargers. I was pulling for them to be right, and I thought that was a fumble. Not only that, the fullback was in the play before anyway. He scored. He doesn't, you know, they say he doesn't break the plane.
On the catch.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Watt, right? That fullback.
Yeah,
Watt.
Derek Watt.
Yeah. He rolled.
It took 18 weeks, but replay got annoying. And that catch thing, no one knew. Not the ref on the field, not Michaels, not Collinsworth, not Terry McCauley up there. Well, McCauley sort of knew, I guess. But
I was mystified. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
That's the first time, it's happened all year. I said, what? And but ultimately, I think they're erring on the side of...
We're not going to intrude on the game.
We don't want replay to intrude on the game. That's exactly right, Maz. That's how I was trying to say it. And I think that applied to both that Bears catch and the Gordon thing. If we change this on replay, that's an overreach on replay, right? Those plays were too close, bang, bang. We don't want replay to be the story.
I mean, that Gordon thing, holy crap. It would have been 12-10, right?
Changed the whole game.
Oh, my God.
All right, back to your thoughts right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Big play at the end of the first half, if you tuned in late, was a supposed incompletion here. Miller, and then you've got Miller, which we thought was going to be overturned, but there was no clear recovery on the play. And we were talking to Terry McCauley earlier. We're going to bring Terry in just a second. We'll bring him in. So, Terry, we've heard from New York, and what's the deal?
Well, after some extensive research into the deepest, darkest bowels of the instant replay casebook, there's a statement that says if there's no clear recovery, then you can't change it to a catch. Doesn't seem logical, but that is the rule in this case.
That is the deepest, darkest bowels. It's page 407, article 31, subparagraph 70, with 9 asterisks. Good God. Anyway, that's a first down here as Sproles makes the catch.
Yeah, if you've ever tried to go through that case,
well, please.
it's a little bit like the IRS code or something.
It's really the first time all year those two were able to do that, meaning snicker about the rule book and what's a catch and what's not a catch. And, I guess I was wrong. They actually did call it right according to the rule, and it's not in the rule book. It's what they call a case book, which is like interpretations or
examples of the rules. Apparently, the case book is within the rule book.
Okay.
It gives examples. Collinsworth cited it right there, but go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You read the actual thing that's in the case book.
I saw a story on ESPN this morning. I just looked it up again and found it. And here in the story it says, here is the relevant passage from the case book, a series of examples within the rule book that explains how rules are applied. Then it quotes directly from the rule book. When a pass is ruled incomplete, either team can challenge that it was a catch and fumble, and that they gained possession of the ball if there is a clear recovery. The replay official can also initiate a review of this play.
Right, inside of 2 minutes.
Right, in which case that applied here. The second one applied here. Okay. If there is video evidence of a clear recovery by either team, the ball will be awarded to that team at the spot of the recovery, but no advance will be allowed.
Uh-huh.
Okay? On fourth down or inside 2 minutes, the ball will be brought back to the spot of the fumble if recovered beyond it. Then it says, the key sentence then follows. If there is no video evidence of a clear recovery or the ball going out of bounds, the ruling of incomplete stands.
So they got it right. You know, I said before, it should have been a catch, fumble, Bears ball. That's wrong. Not according to their casebook. So they actually got it right.
So I think they did based on this rule that we're reading. But I would also say, well, that makes no sense. Like, if upon reviewing it, you found that there was enough there to be a catch, but no one recovered the fumble.
Right, we should be talking about two separate things.
Right, possession of the receiving team, in this case the Bears, is then established at like the 10-yard line or whatever the hell it was.
You want to take back the fumble, that's fine.
Right, but absolutely.
Okay, back to your phones, as promised, on this and everything else. Michael and Methuen. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi. You're the first person I've heard that's actually thought it was an incomplete pass besides me, because I thought that was an incomplete pass last night when I saw it. But anyway, going back to that missed field goal, first of all, if you look at the block, I mean, he barely gets a fingertip on it, and it's with his left hand, which is actually below his right hand, coming in from that angle. And the second thing, if you really look at that replay of that missed field goal, I think the fact that he tipped it actually brought it closer within the goalpost. I think the kick was going to go left.
So I still haven't seen the actual. I'm going to go back and look at
it. It's like Zapruder film.
You really, it's hard to see.
You really can't make it out. They're doing this because they don't want the kicker to get desperate.
Exactly. And again, you can see where the defensive lineman was, right? Did he penetrate?
No.
So if
he jumped up.
If your kick is blocked at the line of scrimmage, that's on the kicker. It's a low kick. You're supposed to kick it over those fellows.
It's a 43-yarder. All you do is pop it up right down the middle.
Give
to
me
layup.
A break.
It's a layup for those guys.
This Cody Parkey was a stiff the whole season.
Gagged.
He hit six uprights this year.
I
don't think you can say that enough. It doesn't sound realistic. Six times he hit the upright.
Don in Maine, what are your thoughts?
Hey, guys. Quick point. 2 points on the officiating. And a quick question on the Chargers. The catch and fumble thing. Now, timing-wise on the whistle, so there's a whistle, so who's going to dive on it? Now, what if two guys did actually dive on it, and the timing of the whistle? You talk about splitting hairs. Oh. I don't know if they're going to do an audio replay.
Okay,
and then what if they batted around on the field for another minute? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the other play on the guy that catch and roll, I don't know how they lose 3 feet or a yard on that spot following that play, too. They move the ball back to the one. And I thought the guy actually rolled into the end zone.
Okay, how come I don't remember that play?
That was in the.
This was the Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers. So yeah. You just changed games on me. Don't do that. I'm not. My brain's not big enough.
They didn't move it all the way back to the one. They put it about the half yard line.
I don't know.
They moved
Go
it
look
back.
At. They moved it back to about the one, man.
Yeah, that was a touchdown, and that was bizarre. But that's a different game. On this thing about the whistle, they now teach you. And Rodney Harrison said it. I've heard other ex players say it. Patriots players say that. We're taught if the ball's on the ground, just go pick it up. If no matter how obvious it might seem or not seem, if there's a play, there's
grab it.
Just if the official's not picking up, it's sitting there. Just pick it up.
I mean, the most shocking thing of the play is that no one grabbed the ball.
Just go pick it up.
They let it sit there on the ground. Nobody from either team. No one even made an attempt at it.
No one even looked at it.
It sat there until the referee went over and grabbed it. It sat on the field. Apparently, Belichick, was asked about this today in his conference call and said, yeah, you know, we tell our guys all the time, go get the ball. No matter what, make sure the ball doesn't sit there.
Ever since Kevin Falk just let it sit there in a game against Green Bay in 2002. Do you remember it?
I don't.
I do. You are all blues. So, I've heard a lot of guys say it. You just, no matter what, just go pick it up. Because if something like that happens, they can always say clear recovery. And now, to the caller's point, you're taught to, you have to play beyond the whistle now. In those, when the ball's on the ground, whether it seems obvious or not, or no matter what, you play after, and even if they blow the whistle, go get the ball. And if someone else tries to go get the ball, you're fighting after the whistle.
See, but I would think at this stage, I was floored by this part of it, that no one went and got it. Because you would think by now, everybody knows that. Like, how many times have you seen that happen? Like, as you know, as fluky as it is, that the whistle doesn't blow, the ball's sitting on the ground, guy picks it up, and all of a sudden he's running the other way, and now he's got a touchdown. Right? So you see it. I mean, it happens. And on this play, it's sitting in the middle of the field, and they all just stand there.
So... yeah, exactly. Right? Zip. Go pick up the ball. Long commercial segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Hey, everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Third and one. They give it to Gordon. He is hit. Tumbles. No single. Ball comes loose and the Ravens have it. Marlon Humphrey recovers. Brings it out of the end zone to the 40. He's to midfield. Down the far sideline. 30. 20. 10. 5. Touchdown, Marlon Humphrey. Touchdown, Marlon Humphrey. A 99-yard fumble return for a touchdown. No flag on the play. No whistle blown that we can tell. And yet no surety of a touchdown just yet.
I think you have several to side Ravens judge.
And Charger players are still down at the five-yard line saying bring it back.
I don't think they're going to be able to get a fumble recovery and touchdown out of this. The question really is, did he break the plane or not before his elbow was then down?
Well, to me, then, we have clarity. Stan, tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. Weddle touches him. This is not a touchdown because his elbow and knee are down before the ball ever breaks the play.
Did he lose control of the ball as he was reaching it out right there?
And I don't know that it matters anymore because if he's touched by Weddle, when that elbow comes to the ground, he was then down
not
before
if he's
he loses possession. But I don't think he lost possession before his elbow hit the ground in that case.
So here's what we do know is it won't be a Ravens touchdown because this, at most, would be ruled down shy of the goal line. Here's Cleet Blakeman with a very important call.
After review, the runner was touched and down by contact with a ball short of the goal line. It'll bring up fourth down at that spot. Please wait 14 minutes 58 seconds on the game clock. 14:58.
The official review brought to you by Toyota, and I agree with it.
Yeah.
I think they did a good job of going through a lot of complexity there and coming up with a fair and correct call.
Was that the Ravens call, Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah, that's the Baltimore call.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon, yeah. Credit. Credit to the Ravens, because that went against the Ravens. Credit to those Ravens announcers. I asked for the Ravens call because I thought they'd be losing their minds, right? And they weren't. They were fair about it. Wow, interesting.
Yeah, see, I'll tell you, I
still think you could have made the case for a fumble because that ball was loose when he was stretching for the goal line.
Oh, you could have. And this is where I think, like, this is clearly the big difference between last year and this year. Last year, anything that was a little gray was a fumble,
right,
or
exactly.
a non-catch.
Exactly, exactly.
Like, you know,
exactly.
Now it's the opposite.
Right, and that's why I think both those plays stood the way they were.
Yeah, they're giving the ball carriers, whether it's a receiver or running back or whoever, they're giving them all the benefit of the doubt now.
Broader definition of control.
I mean, right. That's a good way to put it. Broader definition of control so that as long as the ball is not clearly out and you are showing some measure of being able to control it, they let you have it because they don't, you know, this gets into like the thing in the Super Bowl where if the ball moves a 16th of a turn in your fingers, does that mean you've lost control?
Right.
Like,
right,
you know,
exactly.
so they say they're not going to play that stupid game anymore.
Exactly right.
It's got to come out.
Right.
It's got to come out, which is why I thought yesterday at the goal line in the Chargers Ravens game, I thought that was the right call.
Just find it amazing. It was a great weekend of football. Great meaning, I think, a lot to talk about and to sink your teeth into. Good, bad, indifferent. All four games are worthwhile. All four had, you know, I think important storylines coming out of them. But one of them, just a broad thing, is that the officiating and replay for the first time all year, I feel like, was really a factor. Where we show up the next day and say, was it? Wasn't it? What's the rule? I mean, how many times have we had to go to the rule book this year?
Hardly. Not many. In fact, that might have been the first time I read from it all year long.
You know what I mean? And I feel like in past years, it's every other week. It's like, what's this? What's that? You know. And so it was just not an issue all season long. And then over the weekend, it's like, bang.
Oh, yeah. It cropped up multiple times.
Awesome.
Totally.
The Ravens Chargers one, though. That, like, 10-minute sequence, that was like, oh, my God. Like, this was just interminable. Like, come on. Figure it the hell out.
Painful. All right. So all that stuff's on the table. Patriots, Chargers as well. Big time on the table. Tony in Ohio. Go ahead, Tony.
Yes. First time calling through your show. Living in Ohio, I don't get to follow my Patriots as much as I would like to. But I got to say, I've been a Patriots fan for most of my life, and this is probably the most nervous I've been because, to me, they have looked inconsistent this
year. Okay, I'm going to stop you there. You gave me 15 seconds of qualifiers. You're the most scared of this team as you've been in a long time because they're inconsistent. Would you agree, Mass?
Well, I'd say when you factor in the opponent going into the tomato can game, it's as unsettling as it's been in a long time.
So to me, I was going to pick against them no matter who their opponent was. You know this, which is why I'm glad the Texans lost because I really did not want to hitch my wagon to that group. Because you know what? I think the Chargers are a good team and are a worthy opponent and battle tested, and that road record has got you got to respect that road record. So I think they're totally legit. But even if they weren't, I'd still pick against the Pats because I don't believe in them this year. And I should have learned my lesson last year Because last year I didn't totally believe in them either. I thought there were holes and they weren't, you know, exactly quote-unquote championship caliber. But I said, ah, the freaking Jaguars, Jackson DeVille. They're not going to do anything. And then some backup quarterback in the Super Bowl against some dude who wears a visor in dome games? Like, no, they're not losing to these guys. And I spent too much time handicapping the opponent as opposed to looking at the Patriots. They should have lost to Jacksonville, and they did lose to Philadelphia. So this year I said to myself, I'm not even going to play that game. I don't care who the opponent is. I'm just going to handicap the Patriots. They don't got it this year. That's how I feel. But now you're bringing a real legit opponent. So, I mean, I think San Diego is beyond. And again, we're going to call them San Diego or Los Angeles, whatever you want. We're not going to correct ourselves. I think they are. So on top of the Patriots not being there, I think the Chargers are there. And so I think it go down this week.
I mean, again, 13-4, right? 13-4, 8-1 on the road. And they've won at Kansas City, at Pittsburgh, at Denver, at Baltimore.
And two of those, the at Steelers and at Chiefs, are two of the more impressive games, I think, and comeback games.
Ballsy games.
On the road that you could have seen in the league this whole year.
I mean, they're legit. Like, you know, now, if you were to say to me, do they have holes? Yeah. I mean, or questions? Yeah. The coach? I don't know what the coach is going to do in a big moment. Who the hell knows? And they had some special teams problems in this game. We know the Patriots typically can exploit those. So coming in here, the weather's home field. And if you want to call it quote-unquote intangibles or mystique, if that's what you want to do, all those are in the Patriots checkmark.
See, I don't think the weather's going to be that big of a factor. And it shouldn't be, and I just went over this, it shouldn't be, but the whole East Coast, West Coast, 10 a.m. West Coast game, I think to me is a bigger factor than weather. Don't tell me that you can't, you know, for 3 hours, suck it up. I mean, and oh, by the way, are you sure of your pick? Like, do we know what Sony Michel's going to be in the weather game?
No.
I was just curious.
No, we don't. I'm just going on Brady, Edelman, and Gronk.
Yeah, I mean, they're fine.
And maybe some of the guys on the defense.
For sure.
Right? Like, they're not going to be fazed by it. There's a chance San Diego will be, or some of the guys on San Diego will be. That's all. At worst for the Patriots, it's neutral. They're not going to lose that box, right, if you're going to check off areas there. But if we're talking about the actual football part of it, like, you know, offense, defense, San Diego's better.
Well, I think they're built for bad weather games.
I mean, if you were to say to me, neutral field, like, you know, equal coaching, like, San Diego's a better team.
Well, I agree with that. But also, I just think the nature of their team, they're big. They're big and they're physical and they can run and they play D, and those things usually travel and usually, you know, are best suited for bad weather. So they don't have experience in bad weather, but their team's kind of built for it. Murray said before that Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys winning one playoff game proves his argument that running backs deserve to be drafted fourth overall, which of course is idiotic. But Nick in Foxborough, how do you feel?
I do feel the same as Jim Murray. I'm going to back him up a little bit on this. I was doing some nerd research and found that since 2000, teams that have drafted a running back in the top five have improved by more wins the next season than any other position that gets drafted in the top five. And that number is about five wins. The exact number is 4.8 wins improvement the next season after drafting running back in the top five.
So
quarterback, just for your reference, quarterback on that list is 3.1 games improvement from the previous year.
Okay, so you're saying that a college running back is more suited to excel in year one than a quarterback? You're right.
I'm saying that he's more suited to help a team improve
no,
the following year.
No, that a running back you can just put right in, and day one they should be able to be pretty much there, where a quarterback takes time. That's what that proves.
Sure, okay, but we're talking about the immediate. We're talking about improving a team. You asked how the yards correlate to wins.
Yeah, how did Sony Michel improve you this year, Nick?
Well, you have Tom Brady. You don't need
Sony Michel. No, wait. How did Sony Michel improve you this year?
Well, he's not a focal point of the offense, so he wasn't a top five running back drafted, so that nullifies your argument.
Okay, well, fair point. So if you're telling me running backs are ready sooner than quarterbacks, you're right. They are. How many of those running backs won Super Bowls? Oh, I'm sorry, I dropped him. How many of those running backs won Super Bowls?
The last one to win a Super Bowl who led the league in rushing that we looked up, and this is not exactly the same question, but
yeah,
Terrell Davis in 98.
20 years.
Sean Alexander got there in 05 with the Seahawks.
20 years.
Yeah,
20.
And Marshawn 20 Lynch.
20 years, because when Murray was talking
Marshawn
about
Marshawn Lynch was second in 2013 in the league.
20 years. So, because Murray said before, hey, Ezekiel leads the league in rushing, so he deserved to be drafted fourth overall. Like, he led the league in rushing. What does that mean?
It proves how important he is to that Dallas Cowboys offense.
To your fantasy team.
No, I don't play fantasy.
Is what it proves.
Rant's ass about it, actually.
But what does it mean to lead the league in rushing? It means diddly poo. means nothing.
You're just taking one sentence of my email to you and twisting it against me, even though you know I'm right, because he matters that much to that Cowboys offense, and they don't win that game without him.
Yeah,
so he justifies
points.
The fourth overall pick.
It means you got a lot of yards, Felger.
20, put, right, yards. A point. I'm in my PPG league. What do I get?
Yeah, yards. You get 1 point per 10. That's
and,
like,
and then I get
so
something,
89 yards is 8.9.
I get something extra for 100-yard games, don't I, from running backs?
It depends on the league,
tell
not in my league.
You
don't
GFY
get a bonus.
League.
This is when you know you're talking to a fantasy nerd when they're trying to argue the running back. You say, he rushed for 100 yards in 8 games. Well, again, what does that mean? Who cares? What does that mean for my win-loss? What does that mean?
Shows the importance to his role in the Cowboys offense.
It shows that you got an extra 10 points in your fantasy league because he gained 100 yards. That's what that means, and that's what you're keeping track of.
I'll tell you what, with regard to Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys, he helps them. There's no question about
it. Sure he does.
They better win in the next 3 years because he's going to be dead after that with the amount of times they give him the ball.
Not just that, they're going to get smoked this week. They're going to get smoked. Because the Cowboys,
I want to make the show bet between you and I on this.
Whatever you want, big boy. Because the Cowboys are dependent.
No, big boys tomorrow.
On running the ball, and LA can do it all. But we continue with your thoughts on everything.
Murray, can I get in on this GFY league?
Yeah, yes, Jimmy, you can do it too.
The update takes 90 seconds. There's no commercials, and we're right back.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network. Work.